Lecture 2, The Mind of Thomas Jefferson.
In our last lecture, we looked at Jefferson's childhood, and we noted how difficult it is to understand the way Jefferson perceives his own early experience. That's because Jefferson doesn't want us to see it. He keeps us at a distance. Well, in this lecture, we're going to look at the mind of Thomas Jefferson, and the contrast is overwhelming. Jefferson invites us in. The access is easy. He's open. And what we find is that Jefferson's mind is, in fact, an exemplar of the Enlightenment struggle against superstition, intolerance, and tyranny. And indeed, I think you'll find that Jefferson's philosophical beliefs were not only radical for his day, but for ours. Jefferson is a free-thinking secular humanist, a believer in the power of empirical science over metaphysical dogma, natural law over divine rights. But he's more than that. He's also, as are many of the figures of the High Enlightenment, a champion of progress and optimism, two characteristics that Jefferson will both express and exemplify as characteristics of the American experience. He writes in 1799 to William Green Mumford, "I am among those who think well of the human character generally. I consider man is formed for society and endowed by nature with those dispositions which fit him for society. I believe also, with Condorcet, that his mind is perfectible to a degree of which we cannot as yet form any conception." And there's that soaring optimism that characterizes the High Enlightenment of the late 18th century and will subsequently inform much of America's political rhetoric and self-understanding. Well, I want you to keep your eye on two important features as we look at Jefferson's thought, and we're going to look at it in a couple different areas. We're going to look at his metaphysical views, his ethical views, his religious beliefs, and some of his aesthetic judgments. In every case, we'll find a combination of three things: rationalism, naturalism, and eclecticism. Okay, let's begin with his metaphysical views. First, I should just define that word. It's a very big, pretentious word, metaphysics. It's synonymous with the word ontology. It comes from the Greek meta, above, phusis, the physical. Actually, what metaphysics is the study of being or reality. Put more simply, it's to attempt to describe what are the elements of the universe. What's out there? What is the furniture of our world? What sort of things can we expect to find in the real world in which we're situated? I want to first state what Jefferson rejected, which was probably the common conventional wisdom of his day, which are dualisms and idealisms. We mean by dualism the belief that the world is made of both matter and mind, or matter and spirit. And by idealisms, we mean that, in fact, material objects participate in a larger ideal reality. Both are associated with Plato, and Jefferson had no small amount of hostility to Plato. He writes to Adams in 1814, "Bringing Plato to the test of reason, take from him his sophisms, futilities, and incomprehensibilities, and what remains, in truth, he is one of the race of genuine sophists who has ever escaped the oblivion of his brethren." Now, what Plato argued was that every object we come across in the world has some ideal counterpart. He called it a form. So chairs have a form, an essence of chairdom. People have an essence of humanity. Jefferson refers to these as the semblances of objects which, half seen through a mist, can be defined neither in form or dimension. And this is exactly the critique that Aristotle and most nominalists draw against Plato. Jefferson then turns to another issue, explaining why Plato's idealisms and dualisms should have dominated Western thought for as long. And I think it's revealing to look at why Jefferson thinks that, because it expresses much about the radicalness of his thought. His explanation is that Platonic dualism is a dark age conspiracy by priests. The Christian priesthood, finding the doctrines of Christ level to every understanding and too plain to need explanation, saw in the mysticisms of Plato materials with which they might build up an artificial system which might, from its indistinctness, admit everlasting controversy, give employment for their order, and introduce it to power, profit, and preeminence. So Jefferson is staking out the high ground as a radical free thinker. Well, what did Jefferson ascribe to? Well, he seems to have been pretty much what we'd call a materialist, which is to say, he believed that the world was essentially natural and physical. This is significant because Jefferson lived in a cultural milieu full of essences, spirits, and ghosts.